I listen to country music when I don't want to listen to rap.
You are Locked On Fantasy Basketball, your daily fantasy basketball podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
Hello and welcome to the Locked On Fantasy Basketball podcast brought to you by Basketball Monster. My name is Josh Lloyd and I am the lead fantasy analyst at basketballmonster.com, and you can find me on Twitter as always at redrock_bball. Today we're going to be breaking down the Thursday games in the NBA and then previewing a big 10 game slate on Friday. So, Michael Bolton,
let's get to it.
Let's get to it indeed. We will start with the Thursday
Monstrous line of the night.
Yes, the Thursday monstrous line of the night. It does go to Joel Embiid of the Philadelphia 76ers, who in just 33 minutes had 23 and 15. He had 6 assists, he had 5 blocks, he hit a couple of threes, 53% from the field in a matchup against Rudy Gobert. Now, one of the things that I guess maybe is a little bit surprising, last season, if you were a center and you went up against Gobert, your numbers took a big hit. This season, center's numbers are actually getting a boost going up against Gobert, and that's what I talked about yesterday in the DFS preview portion of the show, that Embiid has got a decent record against Gobert, but centers do tend to put up bigger numbers against Utah this season. Joel has been excellent. He's the number 8 ranked player this season in fantasy, averaging 27 and 13 with 3.5 assists and 2 blocks, and still has room to improve that field goal percentage at 48% there, and is at 80% from the line as well. I don't know when we get to the point of, you know, not talking about Embiid in terms of injuries anymore. He's missed one game. That was that random rest game that he was pissed off about against the Pistons. He's played every other game so far this season. He's averaging 34 minutes a night. You know, when are we going to be like, oh, yeah, Embiid's going to be great if he can stay healthy, a great first-round pick if he can stay healthy. When's that going to end? It's got to be pretty soon, and this is all touch wood, of course. But he's been fantastic this season, playing big minutes, putting up consistently big performances with scope to get even better. Look, we could be talking about a top 5, top 3 sort of fantasy guy in the next couple of seasons. If he starts hitting, you know, 2 threes a game, not outrageous. 4.5 assists, not even that outrageous there with 2 blocks. Yeah, that's an elite fantasy guy, and we're seeing that from Embiid at the moment. Really top, solid, top 10 sort of stuff from him at the moment.
Waiver wire line of the night.
The waiver wire line of the night is also the deep leaguer of the night, and it goes to Iman Shumpert of the Sacramento Kings. What a surprise Shumpert's been this season. A guy whose last couple of years have been wiped out due to injuries, pretty much. But coming in for Sacramento, I was pretty critical of him being named as a starter on this team. It made some sense with Bogdan Bogdanovic out, but Shumpert he's had some good games, he's had some bad games. But the fact that he is rostered in 4% of Yahoo leagues means there are a lot of people asleep at the wheel, because he is a top 130 player this season in only 26 minutes a game. Sure, under 10 points, but 2 threes a game, 1.3 steals, and 87% from the line. That's good enough to be a 12-team type guy. Now, I don't think that you should be looking at Shumpert as a 12-team league player. I think he's an absolute must-roster 16-teamer, and he probably is a 14-team league guy. This rotation has shaken itself out pretty comfortably. We're seeing him and Bogdanovic get enough of playing time at those positions. He's a solid, consistent source of steals and threes. He's like the slightly worse version than Justin Holiday, playing in 6 or 7 fewer minutes from the Chicago Bulls. And you could have Shumpert in a 12-team league, as outrageous as that sounds, but he's more suited to 14 and 16-teamers. But rostered in 4% of leagues means 96% of leagues he's available in. So lots and lots of leagues, Shumpert is there, and he shouldn't be. So go and have a look on your wire. Anyone who plays in any league deeper than 12-team, and even if you are in a 12-teamer, you might be able to make use of what Shumpert brings. He has been consistent, he's been solid. He's shooting the ball quite well as well, 41% on threes. This is a guy that shot 27% last season. So there is, I guess, an element of risk that there is some drop-off coming. But again, we're almost 30 games into the season here, and he's still shooting at a pretty strong level on his threes. He's on 56 from 138 so far this season. Pretty strong numbers from Iman Shumpert. A great redemption story from him as he gets back to being a quality NBA rotation player. Not something I really could have seen coming at the start of this season.
Young gun of the night.
The young gun of the night is Lonzo Ball of the Los Angeles Lakers. Ball without LeBron James, without Rajon Rondo, was fantastic. He had a triple-double, and they took one of his rebounds away. 37 minutes, 20 points, 4 triples, 9 rebounds, 12 assists, 2 steals, and a block on 62% shooting. So there's a couple of things there that stand out. The shooting's not real. 62% and 67 from 3, nobody does that. But those other numbers, this is why I like Ball. But you do have to factor in no Rondo, because he was playing like 27 minutes a night when Rondo was there. And of course, no LeBron. So when we look at what Ball can do moving forward, it's a little bit of a worry. Now LeBron's going to be out a couple of games here. I think Rondo's going to be out for a decent amount of time. That may not be true. That's pure speculation on my part with Rondo and his finger. But Ball is a must-roster guy. But he's a guy that in dynasty leagues, if he goes back to playing 28 minutes a night, I think he's a real, real buy-low guy who legitimately has top 25 fantasy upside, whether that's after LeBron retires, and you're talking 4 years in advance here, or more likely scenario, he gets traded somewhere and finds himself in a scenario where he is doing a lot of the creating, and then he does become that at least top 50 player. So I think he's a massive buy-low guy in dynasty-type formats, but the value might not be realized for a year, 2 years time, maybe. That it's all just dependent on how LA wants to run things. But he gave us a glimpse of why it's been frustrating with his own form and the way Walton has used him this season. It's been frustrating, and I would brace myself for more frustration as we move forward. Let's move into the next one. I tell a man's not hot. Another second-year player gets this award, and that is Jason Tatum of the Boston Celtics. It was not a good night for Tatum. 29 minutes only. He had the old 4-3-2-1. 4 points, 3 rebounds, 2 assists, and 1 steal for Tatum. Only 2 of 7 from the field. We talked about him yesterday or the day before, how he hasn't quite lived up to some of the expectations he had this season. This was not a good game, but the game before that, he had 23 and 10 with 2 steals and 2 blocks, so that was obviously a strong game. This is a blip on the radar. In fact, it's the first time he's had a single-digit scoring game since back on the 8th of November against the Suns, where he had 4 points, and it's just his fourth single-digit scoring game for the season. No need to panic too much, but our expectations should be recalibrated as not a top 40 guy if you ever had that thought, and more around that 60 to 80 type of a player, which is what he's currently doing and where I imagine that he will stick as the season goes on. The plus minus go to the best net rating went to JJ Redick of the Philadelphia 76ers. The shots went in. He was super important for them in their big win over the Jazz. While the worst net rating went to Zach Collins of the Portland Trailblazers. He started this season out red hot. He has regressed pretty significantly over the last couple of weeks, or even the last month or so. Myers Leonard's taking some of those backup minutes also, not really impacting Collins too much, but I thought that there was a chance that he could take some minutes off Nurkic, but that has absolutely gone in the opposite direction for Collins, who is getting found out a little bit this moment. I still have high hopes for him, but it's been a little bit of a rough stretch of time for Zachy Collins. Only big injury, or not even big injury, only injury really to come out of today's games, Jay Crowder suffered a sprained thumb. He wasn't able to return, but you have to wonder, is the fact that he wasn't able to return because the game was over anyway, and the Jays said, well, don't bother coming back in. We do have to watch to see how severe that sprain is, because of course that can be a real prick, having an issue with your thumb and ligaments there. If he is out, look for guys like Thabo Sefolosha and Royce O'Neal to step up, but they're not going to be anywhere near 12-team value. Crowder was more a 14-team league guy than a 12-team league guy anyway, but this could help to boost Derek Favors, Sefolosha, and O'Neal for deeper leagues, and maybe it solidifies Favors as that 12-team league guy if Jay does happen to miss, which of course at this point is far from confirmed. Let's move into these games now. There were 5 of them for us to talk about, so let's go ahead and do that now across the NBA on Thursday. The first one of these games we look at was the rematch of Christmas Day, the New York Knicks taking on the Milwaukee Bucks. The Knicks, you'll be stunned to know that David Fizdale made another lineup change. Enes Kanter was out of the starting lineup and replaced by Luke Kornet. Yes, Luke Kornet, who played 34 minutes. He had 23 points, 7 triples, 3 rebounds, 5 assists, and 1 block. That is a huge game from Kornet, no doubt about that. But he shot 64% on his threes. That will not continue. He's probably a mid-30s to maybe high-30s three-point shooter. He played 34 minutes, and we have to remember that Mitchell Robinson was out. Also, Enes Kanter got a cut head and was ejected. So extra minutes went to Kornet there. And he plays for the Knicks, so who knows what's going to happen with his playing time, his role. Kanter's been benched already once this season for Mitchell Robinson. Then he was back into the starting lineup, and now he's back out again. But this is the reason why you have a streaming spot or an ability in that league, in your 12-team or 14 or anything deeper than 16, you add Cornett and you don't even ask questions. But it's why you have that streaming spot, because you add it and you see what happens. But as Matt Smith pointed out today on Twitter, the Knicks only have 7 games in the next 3 weeks upcoming. So a terrible schedule, and you're not going to get huge amounts out of Cornett. Now, if he's producing this each night, then you hold it through those 7 games. But that's really unlikely. Mitchell Robinson will come back at some point, and I don't think Cantor's going to play 14 minutes a night, although I don't know this for sure. I don't know this at all. I think there is a legitimate chance, and by legitimate, I mean more than 10% chance, that we see the Knicks running with a Cornette-Robinson center rotation, with Cantor being told to go home, being traded, being waived, or just being benched. I think that's a legitimate thing. There is clear issues between Cantor and the coaching staff. He is not happy with the way he gets treated, and there's a lot of communications issues with this team and with Fizdale, who just doesn't tell the players what he's doing after he changes things like a crazy person every single game. I could see that happening. It's not likely. It's not the most likely outcome, but I could see that. So you're not dropping Cantor. You're not doing anything dumb like that. But when Robinson returns, give it a month or so, 3 weeks, not for Robinson return, but for him to get back to full speed, I could see that being the case. So it might be worth a speculative add on Cornette. It's not going to be for everybody, and it's going to be really dependent on who you go and drop. For example, if you added Ivica Zubats, I drop Zubats and grab Cornette, because when I look at it, when I try and plan this stuff out, the guy who's most likely to get a 25-minute a night role is Cornette, and that would be more useful. We'll talk about Zubats a bit later. If I'm looking at dropping Wendell Carter Jr. for Luke Cornette, then I don't do it. Then I keep Carter. There's really, you know, it's really nuanced, as all fantasy basketball is to make this decision. It's not like, yeah, 23 points and 7 triples, he's a must-add player, I've got to add him, because that's not real. It's not continuing for numerous reasons, but he still could be okay. He still can have moments of being a three-point shooting, scoring, free-throw shooting, shot-blocking guy. His G League numbers are pretty good. They're not this good, meaning that he's not this good, but it was strong. Vonleh with another good game, 15 and 13 with 3 blocks and 2 triples. I do think his upside is limited, but this game obviously belies that fact. He is an okay 12-team league guy. Well, Tim Hardaway was out, so Courtney Lee got a start. That's another factor there. Cornette had a 23% usage because Hardaway was out. Manuel Mudiay, who'd been getting 33, 34 minutes a night, no reason, played 27 minutes in this one. 13, 3, and 6. He's still a 12-team league guy, but he is subject to the whims of Fizdale like nobody else. Or Frank Ntilikina, who was inexplicably and really disgracefully benched for one game on Christmas with his family there visiting. Just for one game, he was out of the row. Oh, Frank's been struggling. Could probably go to sit him. So you got to do it on the biggest game. As your lottery pick, as your potential future point guard, who is not playing well, we know that. But to do it for one game when people are there watching, like, that's just shit. That's just shit from Fizdale. But he was back in the rotation today, Frank. And Trey Burke, the all-important Trey Burke that we had to get into the rotation, he was out again. 5 points in 21 minutes for Ntilikina with 2 assists and 5 rebounds. He's not going to be a fantasy impact guy. The Fort Kevin Knox was brutal. 12 and 6 on just horrendous shooting. 27 from the field, 50% from the line. That is the real concern with Knox. He is a points league guy over a categories league guy. But those negatives and the lack of supporting stats, I think it's always going to impact him from a fantasy point of view. On to the Bucks, Yanni, 31, 14, and 8 with 4 blocks. Almost had the monstrous line of the night. He was number 2 today. Chrissy Middleton bounced back, 25, 6, and 5. While Eric Bledsoe, not the best night from Bledsoe. Now, someone posted a comment on Basketball Monster. What's going on with Bledsoe? Are there just too many mouths to feed now in Milwaukee? Is this what we can expect? And that's not true. Okay. What is true is that Bledsoe over the last 2 weeks is outside the top 100, but it's important to look at reasons why. Because it's not you can use that standard well-worn trope narrative of, oh, there's too many mouths to feed because of, you know, the addition of, I guess, George Hill, Brook Lopez there now. But the fact is, over the last 2 weeks, with Bledsoe's rank falling outside the top 100, his usage is higher during that time than it has been for the rest of the season. So in fact, he's getting the ball more. The problem is he's averaging like 0.7 steals per game in that time. Last year, he was at 2 steals per game. He was also shooting 50% from the field last season. And for the majority of this season, over the last 2 weeks, he's at like 40%. And that's why the numbers have fallen. Not because there's too many guys in there taking away his touches and playing times and shot attempts. He's not getting steals. He's not hitting shots. Simple as that. So that makes him a massive, massive buy low to me. Look, really buy low. Brooke Lopez had 17, Brogdon had 15, and shout out to DJ Wilson, who continues to play well. 14 boards in 21 minutes with 2 blocks. He looks like a completely different player. So either he was just dreadful last season and has gone a huge transformation, or Jason Kidd was dreadful. Or a bit from both columns. I don't know. Interesting to see what they do with Wilson when Ilyasova returns. Do they just take McCare out of the rotation and play Wilson and Ilyasova as the backup bigs? That might make them a little bit smaller and lacking in rim protection, but he's been very, very impressive, and it gives me some hope for his dynasty value as we move forward. That's a lot of talk on that game. Let's move on to the next one. It's the Boston Celtics and the Houston Rockets. A big win for Houston. Kyrie had 23 with 11 assists, and Marcus Morris, even though he was ejected, 29 minutes, 19 points, 6 rebounds, a steal and a block. We're 40 games into the season, 35 games into the season. He's been one of their best players. He's been one of their best fantasy players, and he is a 12-team league guy. As much as I can't wrap my head around the fact that it's going to continue, at this point, we just have to look at it. And we have to go, well, that is making him a 12-team league guy. Gordon Hayward had 5 assists. That's okay, but only 24 minutes. I think he's done in 10-teamers. And 12, I'm really on the fence. While Al Horford, only the 24 minutes as he returns from knee injury. A strong game from Jaylen with 18 points in 24 minutes, but it's still not doing enough to make him a 12-team league guy, and his free throws look like they're forever going to be a problem. Marcus Smart, 11 points, 3 assists. Yeah, okay, still does what he does and helps in the categories that we know he helps in, assists and steals, and that can be useful for certain teams. While we talked about Tatum already, and Rozier was almost as bad with 5 points in 15 minutes. For Jimmy Harden and the Rockets, 127-113, they get the victory. Harden had 45 points with 9 triples, 6 assists. He also went through a stretch, I think, in the third quarter. I think he missed 10 shots in a row. Just nonsense numbers for him with Chris Paul out. Capella had 24 and 18, and Eric Gordon, of course, a must-add guy while Paul is sidelined. 20 points, 4 rebounds, 4 assists, and 2 threes. With Gordon moving into the Chris Paul role, that means Austin Rivers moves into the Gordon role in playing 30-plus minutes and not doing anything with them. 10-4-3 is okay, but it's more 14 and 16-team leagues. I don't think he's a 12-teamer. While we had Daniel House make another start, although James Ennis should be back next game. Now, whether that means they start Ennis immediately or House remains there, I don't know, but none of those guys are going to be 12 or probably even 14-team league guys when those minutes are split between House, Green, and Ennis. In fact, one of those guys probably loses out, and my guess would be good old Daniel House. Next up, the Lakers and the Sacramento Kings. The Kings win it on a buzzer-beating 3 by Bogdan Bogdanovic, 117-116. No LeBron, no Rondo, so everyone had a real bump in their production. Kuzma went off 33-9. Ingram had 22-3 with 2 blocks. For him, percentages are always going to be an issue, much like Jaylen Brown. He's just a bad free throw shooter. 63% on 8 attempts is a real issue, but they're going to have this short-term boost. While the hitman Josh Hart started in place of LeBron, 10 points, 4 rebounds, 3 assists and a block. So 3 steals and a block, that's nice. I think it's a very short-term add. If I was debating, do I add Cornette or Hart? In general, I'd say you want to look at my team, but which one of these guys has got more likelihood of being a contributor in 2 months' time? And the answer is probably Cornette. Now, the percentage chance of it might be 20, but the percentage chance of Hart is 10, because we've seen what his role is when everyone's healthy on this team. As for Zubats, no foul trouble, but only 20 minutes. 6-5 with a block, and that's with McGee out. It was always going to be hard for him to maintain 30-plus minutes a night when JaVale returned, and in fact, it was hard for him to do it when JaVale was still out. So while it was a good run from Zubats, and you held him and you see what goes on from here, he's the sort of guy that seems to have an expiry date on what that value is going to be, and then you can move on for someone else who perhaps is a little bit more valuable. Maybe that's Iman Trumpet. Who knows which guy it is, but yeah, it was always going to be hard to see them, A, run a 3-center rotation, but B, him to get enough minutes or supplant Chandler and McGee. There's still a possibility of it, I guess. I'm not so sure about it. For the Kings, Bogdanovic was great again. 23 points, 3 triples, a steal, a block, an assist. He's a must-roster player who's somehow floating around in 26% of leagues. Darren Fox seemed to be bothered by his shoulder. 15, 9, and 12. He missed the triple-double as well. 2 steals. The shooting, not so good. He's been really bumped by some strong 2-point and mid-range shooting, which scares me a little bit, but of course he's been excellent. While Cauley Stein's strong run continued, 19, 8, and 5, and Bielitsa got hot, scoring 18 points on 13 shots. His value has a real shelf life as well, and it's solely dependent on him being a 55%-plus shooter, which he isn't. Maybe it's buy low time on Budrick Hield. Two stinkers in a row, 6 points in 29 minutes here for Bud. Added the three steals, which have been lacking from his game this season. I'm not overly worried about his performance, though. Next up, we go to a blowout, and that was the Philadelphia 76ers beating the Utah Jazz 114-97. Simmons had a triple-double, 13, 14, and 12 with three steals, and Redick nailed six triples on his way to 24 points. Didn't do much else, but good to see the efficiency jumping back up, while Butler had 19 and three steals. Timothy John McConnell is available in 95% of leagues, and he shouldn't be because he is getting assists and steals at pretty decent levels. Think of him as a worse Marcus Smart, so 16-teamers, he is a guy that can have value. While Baby Neck Wilson Chandler, well, he had the bad Richie Benno. I'll play it anyway.
2 for 2, 2, 2.
2 points, 2 rebounds, and 2 assists. That's all for Chandler. He is a very deep league player only. Not much else really happening with this Sixers box score, to be honest. Some extra minutes there for Korkmaz and Muscala with Chandler limited. On to the Jazz. Gobert had 17 and 15, and Donovan Mitchell, that's a good line from Mitchell, 23 and 4 with 3 steals on 50% shooting, but didn't get to the line once, and that's something that we hoped would increase this season, and it hasn't. Dante Exum, also impressive, 20 points, 3 triples, 4 rebounds, 2 assists. This is why the Jazz took him high. We haven't seen it at all in 4 years, or 5 years we're at now for Exum. But that was encouraging. I remember there was that weird point early in the season where he lost his spot in the rotation to Raul Neto. Well, he's clearly grabbed that back. He's playing minutes over Royce O'Neal, as he rightfully should as well. But there's, you know, it's just a deeper league sort of ad. But he's 99% available. So maybe 20-teamers, 18-teamers, you could look at Dante there. Derek Favors, foul trouble limited him to 19 minutes. Well, Jingle and Joe, it's not a great night from Joe. 9 points for Ingles with 3 assists and 2 steals there. The last game of the night was an overtime game between the Portland Trail Blazers and the Golden State Warriors. The Blazers win 110-109 on the back of a Damian Lillard shot, who had 21 points on 20 shots, so highly inefficient, while CJ McCollum was equally inefficient, 24 points on 22 shots. And Nurkic, who'd been really struggling, he was a guy I was pretty big on in yesterday's DFS show, and he went off here, 27 and 12 with 4 assists. Good to see that. And that's something, again, I talked about, is centers against the Warriors used to be a terrible play. Now it's a good play, and we're seeing that play out time and time again. The Chief, Al-Farouq Aminu.
Sometimes it may be good, sometimes it may be shit.
He had 12 boards. That was good. 23% shooting. That's maybe the shit. 7 points, 3 assists. He is that real fringe 12-team league guy. While Mo Harkless brought the defense and played 31 minutes. 11 and 8 with 2 steals and 2 blocks for Harkless. This is what he needs to do to be a 12-team league guy. He's up and he's down. He's hot and he's cold. He's yes and he's no. Whatever other Katy Perry lyrics you can throw in there. That's what Harkless is. But he's getting back into the rhythm of things, and he's starting to provide some okay numbers. So just watch him for now and leave him as a deeper league guy. Steph Curry had 29 points. Wasn't overly efficient, but 7 assists with 2 steals, 2 blocks, and 6 triples is nice. Durant had 26, 10, and 11 for another triple-double on the day. Well, Draymond looked a bit better. 15, 11, and 7 with a triple-one. Klay Thompson, though, still can't hit shots. 15 points on 32% shooting. At least he had 8 rebounds, 3 steals, and a block. Things you can't count on from him. But man, he is no longer a top 50 player, much like Draymond is no longer a top 20 guy. Looney had 10 boards, and Yunus Jarepko had 5, 7, and 4 in his 25 minutes. Very little to talk about again with the Golden State Warriors from a fantasy point of view. Let's go in now and talk some DFS action for Friday's games. Yeah, Friday's games. But we'll start with the perfect lineup on DraftKings. Of course, we had Ben Simmons, Iman Shumpert in that list as well. Good luck if you had him in there. Kevin Durant, DJ Wilson, Luke Kornet. Man, look at the names on this list. Lonzo Ball, Yanni Antetokounmpo, and Noah Vonleh for a total of 406.25, and that cost $49,800. And on FanDuel, Lonzo, Exum, Shumpert, McCollum, Antetokounmpo, Durant, DJ Wilson, Kornet, and Embiid for a total of 426.3, and that cost $59,900. All right, let's look at DFS for Friday. There are 10 games on, another busy day in the NBA. We're going to be looking at DraftKings pricing in the majority for today's games. The first one we look at is a rematch of Wednesday. In fact, there are 3 games on Friday which are rematches of Wednesday's games. That's pretty bizarre. The Brooklyn Nets traveling to take on Charlotte. The last time they matched up 2 days ago was an overtime victory to the Nets. The Hornets are favored here. And by 4.5, the total is 221 points. Injury-wise, we're pretty okay. No questionable statuses to look at before this game kicks off. At point guard, Kemba Walker, 9,100. He had 55 in that double overtime game against the Nets on Wednesday. He'd been trending downward somewhat, and I think 9,100 is a little bit too expensive. While D'Angelo Russell has a nice price drop to 7,000 because he sat out almost the entire fourth quarter and all the overtimes in that game on Wednesday. His numbers have been okay. I just think that probably is a little bit too expensive. And the 7,300 for Spencer Dinwiddie on the surface looks expensive, but he's putting up 40 points a game of late. Out of those three point guards, I probably like Dinwiddie the best. Smokin' Joe Harris at 4,900. I think that's really, really solid for cash games. Love Harris's value there. He's giving you 27 a night, which is great at a sub 5,000 price. Then Nick Batum at 44. No care factor for that. While Jeremy Lamb at 6,100. Back on track, Lamby is. He's giving you over 30 a night, which is fine at that 6,100 price point. No reason to completely be fading him. We know that the blue swimmer, Alan Crabb, is out, so Rowdy Rodion's Kurucs at 5,200 looks like a great option, averaging 36 over the last three. He has gone through a $600 price rise, but it's not taking him to a crazy level. It's a good matchup for Kurucs, and I do think at 5,200 he looks pretty strong. Marvin Williams at 53 has had a stinker in there, a 7-point game in his last five, but still averaging 27 points. I think he is pretty solid for cash as well, save that weird game in there. And then we look at the big man, Bill Hernangómez at 4,000. Giving you numbers at the moment, 28 a night over the last three, and at 4,000, I'll take that. It is a very positive matchup. We've seen big men go off against Brooklyn, and Cody Zeller's minutes have been limited lately. So Hernangómez is an interesting one, more for tournaments. Zeller, I'm not caring about. Rondae Hollis-Jefferson at 5,300 had a 50-pointer on Wednesday. He is trending in the right direction, and 5,300 is a solid price tag. Well, Jared Allen at 55, he's a little bit down at the moment. Not super interested in Allen at that 55. There are better guys to look at, I believe. On FanDuel, no one massively stands out. You could perhaps take a flyer on Hernangómez at 4,500. D'Angelo Russell, a little bit more palatable at 6,800 over there. 57 for Marvin Williams looks pretty good. Kurucs at 63, that is a $2,300 price rise on FanDuel. That is a nonsense price tag. But he had 41 on Wednesday. He's averaging 36 FanDuel points the last three games. So there is something there. It is a positive matchup, but I just feel that price tag's a little bit too high. And you got Jeremy Lamb at 6,800, which isn't a bad one to look at over there. But some pretty, as usual, aggressive pricing over on FanDuel. Next up, we look at the Detroit Pistons traveling to take on the Indiana Pacers. The Pacers are favored by 6.5. The total is 205.5. It's a low-totaled game. We know that big men do struggle against Indiana, against Miles Turner and Domantas Sabonis. So that's something to bear in mind when we're looking at this Pistons team, who the best players are, their two big men. At point guard, Vic Oladipo, 8,300. The shot hasn't been there for Vic, but still averaging 43 over the last three games. That makes him a relatively solid option. I think Darren Collison would be a fade, despite coming off a 34-point game last time out. And Corey Joseph also had a big one in his last outing, 31 points. I don't trust that to continue. Reggie Jackson at 51. I feel really that's like a really strong floor cash play. Get your 29 points out of Reggie, and that's a really solid base to build some other high upside or high scoring guys around at a cheap price. While the Shark, Bruce Brown, baby shark, he started last game. He's at 3,400, had 16 points. I don't really see a massive interest in him. Tyreek's at 3,800. He was a monster last game, 31 points in 19 minutes. He is dealing with that knee issue, still labeled questionable for this game. 3,800 is very, very cheap, though, for Tyreek, and that absolutely puts him into GPP discussions. Reggie Bullock, Bojan Bogdanovic, they're sort of upside-ish type of guys. I would much rather Bojan, even though I have to spend a little bit more on him. And then go to the small forward, power forward type guys. Thad Young's at 57, strong cash play, limited upside, but a very good cash option. Stan Johnson's not good for any format. And then we go to the big men where really the interest is. Blake Griffin at 8,400, averaging 40 against the Pacers the last three times out, which isn't quite where it needs to be at that 8,400 price tag. He is, and that is a solid price drop as well, $600 price drop for Griffo. I think he's okay to look at here, and power forwards have fared a lot better than centers have going up against Indiana. While Drummond at 8,600, a bit of a negative matchup for Drummo, but he has done well against this Pacers front court also in the past, averaging 48 the last three. He's giving you around 45 a night at the moment, which of course at 8,600 would be good value. I think he's pretty strong play here. Miles Turner at 75. Wheels fell off last game, only 26 points in 26 minutes for Miles. 7,500 might be a bit of a stretch. I think it's more for tournaments, and I'm not super interested in Domantas Sabonis at 6,200. I think there's very limited upside in Sabonis at 6,200, and the floor is not as secure as what I would like it to be. Over on FanDuel, no one again really stands out, although I like Miles Turner and Sabonis a lot more on FanDuel than I do on DraftKings. The 4,300 is interesting for Tyreke Evans, no doubt. 6,000 for Thad Young, also pretty strong. And 87 for Oladipo looks okay over on FanDuel. All right, let's go on to the next game. It's the LA Lakers taking on the Sacramento Kings. Is it? No, it's not, because that is the absolute wrong slide. I will get that fixed up. All right, that's better. Sorry. The next game is the Chicago Bulls taking on the Washington Wizards. The Wizards are favored by 5.5 points. The total is 216.5. It's a great opportunity for guys like Wall and Beal to go off against this Chicago team. Even someone like Markieff Morris, we know big men do tend to have a field day against this Chicago team. Zach LaVine will be back in the starting lineup, meaning Ryan Archer-Jackineau will move back to the bench, a move which everybody could see coming. Of course, Otto Porter ruled out again for Washington at point guard. Zach LaVine at 6,500. I love this for LaVine. He had 34 points last game, returning from an ankle injury in only 26 minutes. It's a pretty strong matchup for him, so he's a good option. Well, Johnny Wall at 9,000. Chris Dunn's a pretty good defender. The Bulls have been about average in terms of restricting point guards this season, so Wall is okay. He has really done well against Chicago in the past, so that would give him some GPP appeal to me. While Dunn at 6,900.
Giggity!
Probably a little bit too high for Chris with LaVine back, trying to fit in his usage alongside Zach and Lowry is going to be interesting. Thomas Satoransky, Shaq Harrison, Archer-Jackineau, not interested in those guys. Justin Holliday's at 49. He was brutally bad last game. 11 points on 1 of 11 shooting. He will be better than that. He's not a high upside guy here. You can do better. Like Bradley Beal at 7,800. That is a ridiculously low price for Beal, who should be looking at 40 plus here. Really, really like him. And then we go to the wing guys. Jeff Green's at 41. He got in foul trouble last game.
My name is Jeff.
He had 8 points in only 9 minutes, but with Otto Porter out, he'll likely get another start. Minutes in the high 20s to low 30s, and that should push him pretty comfortably above the value proposition of a $4,100 player. While Trevor Ariza at 5,600 just keeps cranking out the steals. It's giving him good value. He had 32 last game, lots of minutes. I think he's more cash than tournament. I don't really see a massive upside in Ariza, but he's obviously a pretty good play. And then we go to the big men, Wendell Carter Jr., the Block Panther, 4,800. Exceeded that last game, but still can't stay out of foul trouble. Not a supreme option here. While Tom Bryant, 3,800 for Tommy. He is a GPP-only player, and even then, I don't think it's a strong one. The only reason I'd really consider it here is because he's going up against Chicago, and big men do tend to feast. Mahinmi, Robin Lopez, not interested in either of those guys. Well, there's Markieff Morris at 4,400. I love that price for Markieff. We could be looking at a 30-pointer given how favorable this matchup is for him against Chicago. On FanDuel, Jeff Green at 4,400 looks pretty good. Ariza at 61 and LaVine at 76 also, not too bad. Johnny Wall probably a little bit overpriced. Lowry Markkanen at 74. I don't love Lowry on DraftKings either. At 74, he's okay on FanDuel, but again, hard to fully understand how that combination's going to go with Dunn and LaVine next to him. Next up, we've got the Toronto Raptors and the Orlando Magic. Kyle Lowry not likely to play in this one with his back injury. No spread or total released for the game so far. Let's look at the point guards in this one. We've got Fred VanVleet, who will likely start again. He's at 5,600. He's a pretty strong cash play. Didn't get the value last game, just 22 points in 38 minutes, but the minutes were there, and he will be better than that. Well, DJ Augustin exceeded his value significantly. 45 points in that game against the Suns. DJ, that's his best score for the season, comfortably. I don't think he's going to be able to get back to that. And at 4,500, I think there are better ways to go and spend that sort of money. Terry Ross is at 4,100. He goes against his former team here. He had 28 last game. He's more of a tournament guy, but at 4,100, there is still some cash value in Ross. While Evan Fournier at 54, I think he's a pretty solid cash option. Given the other guys that are available. Dan Green's at 44. I'm not really feeling that one. On the wing, the Jedi, OG Anunoby.
Hello there.
He's at 3,500. That's not interesting. John Isaac, 37. Yeah, Isaac would be more of a tournament guy than what Ananobi is, but not super interested in him. Well, Aaron Gordon at 65. He's just not quite there. He's more of a $6,000 player than a 6,500. He's around 33 points, which is okay at that number. I know he can go for 50, but he's been really disappointing for the majority of this season. A guy who hasn't been disappointing is the fun guy, Kawhi Leonard.
I'm a fun guy.
He's at 9,200. That's a lock cash play. Really, really like that. And then for big men, Nick Vucevic, totally into this one. $700 price drop. He's at 8,200. He bounced back with 46 on Wednesday against Phoenix. Another strong matchup. Centers do well against Toronto. So I think Vuce at that price is strong. Well, Ibaka was terrible last game. Only 18 points, 5,700. He's more of a tournament guy than a cash guy. And Siakam at 62. I just feel like he's continually overpriced, and I think this is no exception. On FanDuel, I like Van Vliet, I like Vuce, I like Fournier. Ananobi and Terry Ross also have some GPP upside. Kawhi at 10.3 is it's priced up quite a bit. I don't hate it. I think there's something there. There's maybe not a massive amount of upside in it, but a relatively safe floor for a high-priced ticket guy. All right, let's go on to the next game. The Cleveland Cavaliers and the Miami Heat. The Heat are 9.5-point favorites. The total is very low, 198.5. Justice Winslow will be looking for another big performance here. Hassan Whiteside is probable for the Heat, while Ante Zizic is questionable for Cleveland. He started last game. Unsure whether they'll go back to him or Jaron Blossom game next to Larry Nance. At point guard, Winslow's at 5,800. I absolutely love this for Winslow. He can be up and down, but I think he can just bludgeon his way. Even on a poor shooting night, 230 points worth of value, and it is a very, very positive matchup for him. Jordy Clarkson's at 6,000 has been rock solid, and that's amazing to say for Clarko, but I like him as well. Alec Burks at 46, not as interested. Tyler Johnson had a huge game, 37 last game. $6,000, that is a no from me. Jimmy Johnson at 4,400, he is back in business. I think we're looking at a 25-type point performance for Jim, and that makes him cash to me with upside as well. While Chetty Osman at 42, I'll probably steer clear. Joshie Richardson at 74, he is a really solid floor guy as well. 30-point minimum over his last five games, which is obviously really, really strong and quite reliable. Is old Joshie Richardson, while Scooter Magruder, he is dying in the ass. The big man, Hassan Whiteside, 7,100. He is putting up some monster performances of late. 40 points in 31 minutes last game. He's getting around 27, 28 minutes a night, which is obviously helping his value. The hip is a bit of a worry, so I'd probably look at him more for tournaments. Zizic at 34, well, he exceeded value last game. If he starts, I think you'd have to consider him without being all in. While Larry Nance at 6,900.
Giggity!
That price might be just a little bit too high for Nance. He's averaging 40 over his last five, but the last couple have been a little bit down, and he was quite reduced playing that power forward role next to Zizic. And if they go back to that, then Nance might struggle somewhat. Olynyk and Adebayo, I think we can leave those guys alone.
Bam! 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 Bam!
On FanDuel, I like Burks as a tournament guy at 4,400. I like Justice, although he is up at 6,500. I still like him given the positivity of the matchup. The Padawan Colin Sexton and Jordan Clarkson also look pretty good over on FanDuel also. While Larry Nance at 7,100 is more favorable on FanDuel than what he is on DraftKings. Let's go on to the next game, the sixth game of the day. The Dallas Mavericks and the New Orleans Pelicans, another Wednesday rematch. The Pelicans are favored by 4.5. The total is 230 points here. Dennis Smith Jr. is questionable, while Wes Matthews is out. Luka Doncic is listed as probable with a right toenail injury, so that's an interesting one. Now, last game that Smith was out, we saw Doncic move full-time over to point guard and Maxi Kleber start. Now, it's against the same opponent, so you'd have to imagine that that's the sort of thought process they'd be going through again with Jalen Brunson coming off the bench. Not coming off the bench at all. Although Wes Matthews being out changes things around. Maybe we do get some Brunson minutes, and we'll definitely get more Dorian Finney-Smith minutes in this situation. Nick Mirotic also out for the Pelicans. At point guard, Drew Holiday's at 8,900. You won't find a more robust floor type of a player. Really like what Holiday's doing. Well, Smith at 5,000. Dennis Smith at 5,000 would be a cheeky GPP guy, but we don't know that he's going to play. If I had to put money on it, I would say yes, he is going to play this game, but I don't know that for sure. Well, Timmy Frazier at 4,200. He's getting those low 20s minutes again. I'm just not interested by it. Juan Jose Barea, which it's Juan... Which one is it? Jose Juan. That's what it is. I'm sure I'm wrong. At 5,100, he had a monster last game. And if Smith is out, I'd be happy to use him at that $5,100 price tag. Eats one more, you can keep him for yourself. Luka Doncic, 8,700. He's just racking up 40s left, right, and center, averaging 48 over his last five. And if Smith is out, I am all in on Doncic here. If Smith is in, I might end up fading him at that excessive salary. For the wings, Dorian Finney-Smith's at 3,400. His highest score for the season is 35, so there is some upside there, and he can do it with Matthews out. I'm not super invested in, and definitely not a cash guy. While the pencil Harrison Barnes at 5,600, I don't mind that for cash with Matthews out. He can get to that level, but he has been, of course, disappointing. Darius Miller has been starting for the Pelicans and doing very, very little. The big man Julius Randle is up at 7,900. He normally does well against Dallas. Was a little bit disappointing last game, just the 34 DraftKings points, but I think he's pretty rock solid at that salary. Maxi Kleber at 34 had 26 points in 24 minutes on the back of six blocks. That would mean he is more of a GPP guy, while Davis at 11.6 is always a strong play. DeAndre Jordan at 6,800. I love the fact that his salary's come down that much, and it's pretty weird considering he's averaging 41 points over his last five. So no reason to not be interested in DeAndre Jordan. That's a weird low salary for DeAndre, despite how well he has been playing. On FanDuel, Randall, Holiday, Davis all look pretty good. I like the pencil as well. And Finney-Smith at that 3,600 price tag for a starter. It's worth at least paying some attention to see if he can do anything, which often is the case that he can't. The Atlanta Hawks take on the Minnesota Timberwolves. The Wolves are 9.5-point favorites. And the total is 230. A great matchup opportunity for Derrick Rose. Jeff Teague is out.
My name is Jeff.
So he's going to get another start, is Derrick. At point guard, Rose is at 7,100. Really, how do you go past that? It's a superb matchup. Yeah, massive boost to point guards going up against the Hawks. While on the other side, Trae Young gets a negative matchup. It's a massive decrease in value for point guards going up against the Wolves. Young is at 6,400, who has been playing better. In fact, his lowest score over his last five has been 30. I just think on this sort of a slate with this sort of a matchup, he's not the best one to go for. Or Tyus Jones is at a couple of strong games, but I'm not really keen there. Josh Okogie is at 3,700. The minutes should be there. The matchup's a positive one for Okogie. I wouldn't want to use him in anything else as opposed to a GPP. While Kevin Huerter at 42, he struggled the last couple, but I think he can bounce back in this game. Wigo is down at 5,800. That's a nice price drop because he's been terrible. But 29-point average over the last five would indicate that 5,800 is about the right spot for him. Bembry, not really. Kent Bazemore, he's crushing it. 6,100, love Bazemore here. Really, really playing probably the best. And I've been a Kent Bazemore hater in the past, and it's all relative. He can obviously play basketball. He was never worth that contract. But at the moment, this is the best basketball he's ever played, and he's really in red-hot form, and that salary is a strong one. On the wings, Bob Covington at 6,200, maybe a little bit high for Bobby, so I'd probably leave him alone. Justin Anderson, yeah, nah. At the big man spot, The Undertaker, Dwayne Dedman at 5,500. Alex Len is out. You cannot go past The Undertaker here. He had 48 points last game. If he stays out of foul trouble, which can be a bit of an if he stays out of foul trouble, he is smashing 5,500, and he is going to be very, very highly rostered in cash games. Taj Gibson, Dario Saric, nah. And Carl Anthony Towns, 9,600. He averages 60 against the Hawks, and there is absolutely zero reason that he gets that he shouldn't get another 60 here. So he is a pretty strong play. Also, on FanDuel, I like Huerta, Dedman, I like Towns. Rose at 75, it looks high, but it's not that bad. And Okogie with some of that GPP upside, but not as appealing as what he is over on DraftKings. Next up, the Spurs and the Nuggets. Wouldn't you know it, another Wednesday rematch. The Nuggets are 3.5-point favorites after losing to the Spurs, getting blown out by the Spurs, actually, last game. 214 is the total. Injury-wise, we know that Barton, Millsap, Gaz Harris, these guys are all out for Denver, Pau Gasol out for San Antonio. The point guards, Jamal Murray, the Blue Arrows at 6,600, struggled last game. He should bounce back, but he has had a history of struggling against the Spurs in the past, more for tournaments, while his opposite number, Derek White, who's only at 3,800, he's just quietly chugging along, giving you 21, 22 a night, which is fantastic at that salary, but still more just for tournaments, while Monty Morris also been awesome. His lowest score in his last five is 26, and at 4,700, I will take that every single day of the week. The guards, the shooting guards, the small forwards, DeMar DeRozan's at 8,100, he's giving you 40 plus a night, strong option there for him. Bellinelli, Uncle P, no thanks. On the wing, Rudy Gay looking to bounce back after what was a poor performance, but at 5,700, he still had 22 points. That's not a bad option to use Gay here. I look for a good bounce back. While Juancho had a career night, 49 points, Juancho Hernangómez. And at 4,800, that looks super appealing. It is a career night. He was on the downswing a little bit before this game. I think it's more tournaments than anything else. And then for the big men, I love Jokic here. He got benched by Malone last game. Even including that last game, his last three against San Antonio have averaged 51 points. It's an $800 price drop. That is extreme. He is a massive, massive option here. I think I love him across pretty much all sites. While Mason Plumlee at 5,200 is a low upside, high floor, solid, reliable cash player. Davis Bertans at 35. If anyone could explain to me why DraftKings has him listed as center power forward eligible, I'd love to know. How many minutes has he actually played at center? I probably should have that in front of me. I'm going to guess it's not that many. Jakob Poeltl, 3,400, not really doing it for me. While LaMarcus Aldridge is at 7,000. His production hasn't quite been at the right spot, but it is a good matchup for LaMarcus, and I'd be okay with him at 7,000. I think it's a pretty good option. On FanDuel, love Jokic again, 9,800. Not as aggressive as a drop as on DraftKings, but that's still nice. I like the Gay bounce back. I like a Jamal Murray bounce back opportunity as well. LaMarcus and DeMar at 77 and 88 are okay, but not as appealing as how they look over on DraftKings. Sorry. The next game we look at, the Oklahoma City Thunder traveling to take on the red-hot Phoenix Suns. The Thunder are 6.5-point favorites, and the total is 223 points here. Paul George appeared on the injury report today with a quad contusion. If he is out, that really changes the calculus in this game and opens up opportunities for guys like Dennis Schroeder in a big way, or even someone like Timotei Luwawu-Cabarrot, plus Russell Westbrook's usage will be about 80%, so that'll be something interesting to watch for. At point guard, love Schroeder at 5,300. Alex Abrines is ruled out, so that already works in Schroeder's favor. And then if we also get the absence of George, then he is going to have some big, big numbers. Well, Russell Westbrook at 10.9 is good. If Paul George is out, that's almost a must-roster sort of a guy. Devin Booker's at 8,500 because he is just crunching big game after big game. Now, he goes up against one of the NBA's best defenses. I still like Booker at 8,500. He's good for 50 points, it feels here, which is pretty strong at that salary. De'Anthony Melton, Jamal Crawford, who is questionable, Elia Kobo, I don't see much with those guys. Kelly Oubre's at 46. He's okay. He had 29 points in the overtime against the Magic. He's not a great point accumulator, so I don't love him there. There is some tournament upside. He can have those weird hot shooting nights, while McCall Bridges is the opposite. He's an ancillary stat accumulator and doesn't score points. He's at 4,100. I'll leave him alone. Tony Warren Jr. is at 6,300, just as rock solid as it gets, and amazing turnaround and what he's been able to do. I think he's a solid cash guy here, while Paulie George up at 9,900. That is bloody expensive. And dealing with a leg issue, I'd probably fade him, but how do you fade a guy that's averaging 62 over the last five? That's pretty tough to do, but that injury might make it just a little bit more dicey. The big man here, we're looking at Joshy Jackson, who's for some reason a power forward. He's at 4,400, only for tournaments with him. Nerlens Noel, no interest. Steve Adams, love the matchup for Adams, 6,800. He's averaging 41 against the Suns. I think that he is a real massive play if Paul George is out. More tepid if George is in. Or DeAndre Ayton at 7,300. This is a tough matchup, but his salary's dropped $500 after that disappointment against Orlando. This can be a tough one against Adams. I'd probably end up leaving Ayton out of these lineups. On FanDuel, love Schroeder, love Adams, and some value there in Oubre and Booker as well. The last game of the day is the Battle of Los Angeles. We're looking at the LA Clippers and the LA Lakers. The Lakers, the only team on a back-to-back here. No spread or total out at the moment for this one. LeBron will likely sit this one, as will Rajon Rondo. For the Lakers, we saw Josh Hart get the start on Thursday in place of LeBron. We also had JaVale McGee out of that game. Unsure whether he'll return in this one, but of course, if he is out, we're looking very, very closely at Ivica Zubac, who's been putting up some strong performances. On DraftKings, Lonzo at 5,900. I can't go past Lonzo Ball with Rondo. If Rondo plays, I'm going to be absolutely floored. It could happen. It will be stunned. Brandon Ingram, 6,300. Pretty interested in him there. It's a real positive matchup. He should handle the ball more. The Hitman Josh Hart at 42 would just be a tournament guy, while Gilgeous Alexander at 44, again, more for tournaments. Not feeling him in this is somewhat of a negative matchup, while Louis Williams up to 6,600. I actually like Lou Williams at that sort of a price tag. Lance Stevenson, Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, they're like desperation type plays in my opinion, as is Avery Bradley. Although, Braddles had 28 points on Wednesday, and at 3,900, that's a great return in value. You cannot rely upon Bradley at this point, though, given how inconsistent he has been. On the wings, the Rooster, Danilo Gallinari, is at 30... No, he isn't. He's at 6,700, and he's averaging 38 over his last five. He is a relatively strong option here, and Toby Harris at 76 also looks good. I'd take the Rooster over Harris at this point. While the future MVP, Kyle Kuzma, at 7,700. That is a very big price for Kuzma, but I do like the situation here with LeBron sidelined. At centre, McGee's at 47, coming off pneumonia. We don't know if he's going to play. I'd be hesitant to use him. The table, Montrezl Harrell at 64. I feel pretty good about using Harrell in this matchup. And Zubats would be the guy that we look at pretty comfortably if at 5,900 if JaVale is out. Also, Boban started last game for the Clippers. Unsure whether he will in this one. But if he starts at 3,700, then he is, of course, always an option. On FanDuel, Hart and Ball, Kuzma, they're all play options. So is Ingram as well. While on this one, on FanDuel, Toby Harris comes in as a better play than Danilo Gallinari. Let's wrap this up now by looking at some studs and values. On DraftKings, there's going to be a lot of Jokic. My stud is Jokic, and my value is Markieff Morris. On FanDuel, my stud is Jokic, and on my value play is Fred VanVleet. On Yahoo, my stud is Vucevic, and my value play is Mason Plumlee. And to wrap things up, my stud on DraftStars is...
pretty good. It's pretty, 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 pretty good.
Yeah, it's Nikola Jokic. And my value play is Justice Winslow. That'll wrap it up for today and for another week of the Locked On Podcast. Locked On Fantasy Basketball Podcast. Follow me on Twitter at @RedRock_Bball. Subscribe, Apple Podcasts, Google Play, TuneIn, Stitcher, and on Spotify. Guys, we are done here. Thank you so much for listening, everyone. See ya. Melvin Frazier.